1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 21st of January, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour.
No, I was doing something else.
It's 7 minutes after the hour.
Not
you're
here.
Listening to Soundbites. Give us a call. You've heard the numbers. We'll be glad to take your calls and answer your computer questions. Yes?
I got to let a few of the folks know. I've been down and out for the past 2 weeks now. There's a number of folks I promised I'd get back to them, like in the squirrel mail and some of the other emails. I apologize. Yes, I haven't been up to snuff and getting back to a few of you folks. I owe a couple phone calls and a few emails. So once I do kick this bronchitis, which I've never had in my life, and man, it hurts.
Yeah, I bet.
It feels like I'd like to go down to my shop and ask for a new lung.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you could hurt that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So I promise, folks, as soon as I can, I will get back to you folks. I'm not trying to ignore you. I've got one lady in Oregon.
Wow.
That listens to our show. Yeah, we get a lot of folks through the squirrel mail. I mean, I answer, roughly, 15 to 20 questions a day.
Although that's not an invitation for you to send email to us.
No.
Post in the forums.
You'll get a faster
and better response many times.
Be honest with you, there's some of them that I just do delete. Because, hello, if they were listening or if they listened to the archives, it's been addressed. And I'm not going to repeat it.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yes, we're there. And it's when I want to do it.
Right.
So.
But Dave has now put in his word on the squirrel mail. AT&T is offering $20 naked DSL service. Within a few months, AT&T is expected to start charging $19.95 a month for naked DSL. And before Steve gets all excited, all that means is you don't have to buy another AT&T service, including telephone or whatever, to get that rate. Normally, it's $45 for standalone broadband subscription.
I don't know, but you got a big smile on his face.
Yeah, AT&T is also developing $10 DSL for new subscribers who also buy AT&T branded phone service. They're planning to offer both services for at least 30 months, and the clock starts as soon as they start selling them in any of the 22 states where they're the incumbent local phone company. Why so cheap? Three words: Federal Communications Commission. The FCC recently approved AT&T's acquisition of Bell South, but in order to get the needed votes for that, AT&T agreed to offer these DSL bargains. They're required to roll out the $20 a month offer within 1 year and the $10 subscription rate within 6 months. However, don't suddenly get real excited. Under the deal, AT&T's cheap DSL products will actually clock in at 768 kilobits per second, which is a whole lot less than the 6 megabits per second I'm getting on DSL right now. So it'll be cheap, but it'll be slow. And but of course, this is America. You get to make that choice.
Yep.
All right. Our first caller is Brian from Stanley, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Good morning.
Where is Stanley?
I have a compact laptop, and it's got a ATI Radeon graphics card.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for some reason, in my computer management, whenever I look at the event viewer, I'm having an error that comes up ATI 2M tag. Now, I've went to ATI's website, and I've downloaded their Catalyst Control Center and tried to update the graphics and everything, but it doesn't seem to be resolving the problem.
And this is in the event viewer you find this?
Yes. I've got some programs that won't run because it says that my graphics are not up to spec, when according to the specifications of the graphics card, it should work fine.
Now, have you tried removing all of the graphics? So, in other words, when it reboots, it's going back to the defaulted Windows graphics?
Not yet. I have tried uninstalling Catalyst before and then doing a fresh install.
Oh, well, try uninstalling all of the ATI stuff.
Okay.
Was this a video card or onboard video?
It's an onboard. keyboard?
It's a laptop.
So you can't. Oh, that's true. So you can't remove the chips.
Nope.
Well, you could, but you might not get them back in again.
Yeah, I try.
What sort of stuff are you having trouble running?
I've got a couple of games. And a
yeah,
couple
I knew
other
that's
programs.
What you were going to say. The likelihood is that it's simply not. Well, it's really one of two things. It's either not enough.
Horsepower.
Well, and not enough memory on the card, which you might be able to fix with the driver upping the amount of memory it steals from the regular machine.
Right. Is it shared video or dedicated video?
I believe it's shared.
Right. So you may be able to up that amount in the driver, but it's also possible that it's just a lower-end card.
And here's the thing. Laptops were never meant to be gaming machines.
Okay.
They have lower performance components to make them cheaper.
Yeah. So,
but it's usually offset by the proprietariness of the laptop form factor, which makes them more expensive.
Yep.
Yeah. They do less, but they cost more. So that's kind of a nice thing to know.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Wait, where's Stanley?
It's halfway between Geneva and Canandaigua, just a hair south of 520.
There you go.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, that's where the rest stop is on the thruway.
Yeah.
There's a great restaurant down there near on 520 near 65. It's an old country place. They serve great homemade cinnamon biscuits.
It was the Holloway House at 64.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah.
But it's on 520?
520 near 64.
Yeah,
in West Bloomfield.
You can get these cinnamon rolls. Nick, you ever want to go to a place? Oh, this place is good. Well, yeah, I know you enjoy different places.
I do.
And I mean, you got to check that Holloway House out. It's a good place. All right,
it's not just about computers. We give dining out advice here as well on Soundbites.
Yeah.
Our next caller.
Let's say that's always been one of the tips. If you want to get your computer fixed faster, bring food.
Feed us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can be bribed.
What's for dinner? Yeah.
Absolutely. Our next caller is Matt from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Matt. What's your question?
Oh, I built my first PC. Right?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I have everything configured. Windows XP, I can run games. The only problem is, the only Linux that works with it is Mandrova 2007. Anytime I try any other distro, it says, sorry, cannot load file system. And I try, the RAM's all checked. I tried 7 different optical drives. The BIOS, I don't know. I went around there and tried different settings that people told me to try. But it seems like I'm stuck with Mandrova.
What does it say? What error message do you get?
It says, when I put it in like a live CD, NOPIC, it says, it comes up, you know, you push the button, it goes to install, you know, or to run.
Right.
It'll say, can't find a file system. And it'll say, I'm sorry, dropping you to a limited shell. And then it'll have some very, about 6 commands like mount or unmount.
Yeah.
And this usually happens with Memphis. Ubuntu, it loads up and just locks up, and I don't get any error messages at all. And I know the disks are all fine because they're all like factory bought disks that I've used on all the other computers for, you know, years, you know.
Right. It's just this one machine that you built.
Yep, and for some reason, all these disks and all the optical drives and everything works on every other computer, and I've got like 4 computers, but it only lets me install Mandrova in Windows XP. There was an original problem when I went to install Windows XP. I did have to select in the BIOS DDR2 800 RAM.
Right.
It wouldn't work when it was on auto, which was the default setting.
Right.
So I'm lost. I mean, is there anything that I can change in the BIOS to get this to work?
Well, I'm wondering if your ACPI should be... The ACPI often does this, and I don't remember whether it's supposed to be off or on.
I tried it with off and on.
What type of hard drive is it?
The hard drive is a Maxter a SATA drive. Oh, that's another thing.
Maybe you need a new SATA driver in the Linux first.
It could also be that if this is one of those drives that came with a set of utilities on it.
Yeah, the preload boot sector... For you know, like copying from one computer to another, there's a little tiny partition ahead of everything.
Right.
You can.
That may be part of your problem, and Mandriva understands that, and the others don't. Listen, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple. But I don't know what to tell you about
that. Look at the partition map. See if there's a little partition ahead of it, and erase the drive from scratch. Maybe.
Yeah, that might do it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Mighty Dan Cole, and with me, Nick Francesco. Each and every one of you, it is 16, almost 17 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that would be Soundbites. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on 1180 WHAM. Buddy, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. You're a happy man.
Come tomorrow night, I will be very happy.
Well, hey, tomorrow night, tonight, Galactica returns tonight.
Galactica returns tonight. The Dresden Files are on tonight.
Right, the Heroes tomorrow night.
Heroes. Tomorrow night. Yeah. The problem is, I teach on Monday night, so when I come in on Tuesday morning, you zip your lip, Cole.
I already bought my roll of duct tape.
Thank you.
No problems.
Thank you very much. I then just have to get through an entire day. It's like going through a minefield.
Sci-Fi Channel was rerunning Heroes on Friday night before Stargate.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got to see what they're going to do now.
Well, I'm on Netflix, so I got the recap.
Yeah.
They had a DVD, which is a recap of the series, and it was pretty neat, actually. All right, when Microsoft is offering a Vista Family Pack discount for Ultimate users. Even though the retail launch of Windows Vista is just a couple of weeks away, Microsoft is still continuing to fine-tune its licensing and pricing details. The company will allow Vista Ultimate customers to purchase two additional copies of Vista Home Premium for somewhere between $50 and $100 bucks.
You know what? It's not really that long. Next week.
Yeah.
Next week is when they launch it. Next Wednesday.
And boy, are we going to be busy starting the week
Tuesday,
after that.
Tuesday.
In order to qualify for the so-called Family Pack promotion, customers need to purchase at retail a copy of Vista Ultimate, which carries an estimated retail price of $400. The deal will not be offered to those who purchase Ultimate preloaded on a new PC. It will be for customers buying and or upgrading via retail channels only.
All I can say is grab a hold of your ankles tight, folks.
Basically, the Family Pack discount is just one more way Microsoft is looking to sell Vista and continue to grow their revenue stream. So let me recap this for you. For $400, you can buy a copy of Vista Ultimate. For an extra $200, you can buy two copies of Premium. That's $600 or $300 per user, as opposed to a zillion copies of Ubuntu for free.
Well, even Windows, the basic Windows, lowest tier of Vista is only $100, right?
It's not well, maybe.
But so it's stupid on their part. You can pay $300 or you can pay $100.
Right.
Or you can pay nothing and get a Linux distro.
Well, but see, this is the thing. There's basic and premium and wonderful and ultimate and super colossal and do you want fries with that? I don't know what all the versions are, but there's like six of them, and I think they're just going to confuse the marketplace. I think everybody's just going to be
One version is strictly for overseas. There's one version.
Yeah, they had to take out, IE and Media Player?
Yeah.
But they can't do that in the American version.
No, they can't.
No, absolutely not. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Well, gentlemen, I've got an IBM laptop running 2000, and my hard drive is almost full, so I bought a new one, and I've got everything backed up with Ghost, and I'm trying to figure out how to get this thing to back up to a new hard drive. In the old Ghost, it used to have a recovery disk, but in this new Ghost, I never created a recovery disk.
Well, you should be able to, Jim. Ghost, now, this is a regular desktop machine?
No, it's a laptop.
Oh, a laptop?
Well, you can boot the Ghost CDs, you now? And pick your source and destination?
Yeah, see, if like in our shop, we just pull out both hard drives and ghost it from one machine to the other, but when you're trying to do it within a laptop, that's a little harder to do.
Okay.
Does your laptop have a CD burner?
Yes.
You might be able to burn the image. The problem is it may be larger than a single CD.
Oh, yeah. It's 45 gigabytes.
Right.
If you boot the Ghost CD with the... Well, now, here's the trick. The external hard drive, how's it attached? USB?
No, he doesn't have an external hard drive.
No, he doesn't have it. He's trying. You've got
the external hard drive is backed up onto a USB hard drive. Yes.
Yeah. So the Ghost boot CD has to have the USB drivers, so it can see the second hard drive to back up or restore onto.
Okay.
The easiest thing I think to do would be to take it like to Dave or Steve, and just pay a few bucks and have them do it,
and post it over.
Right, they've got a setup on the bench where they can take the two hard drives out, put them on their own machine, do the ghost image, put the new one back. You're done.
How much will my dad cost?
You're probably looking at a couple hours labor.
Okay. Can I ask you a Thunderbird question?
Absolutely.
I just upgraded the Thunderbird a couple weeks ago when that new one came out. And ever since I upgraded it, I can't get into all of the subdirectory folders. So I'll have a local folder in a sense and local in basket and stuff. And I can get into like the inbox and occasionally I can get into the sent box. Most of the time, if I try and get into one of these subdirectories, it'll actually just give me a hourglass and just sit there for hours and hours and hours. Now, I tried to compress some stuff, and it hasn't really helped. Is it something that's unique to this new upload?
I have not. You get no error message or anything else?
No, just sits there and thinks. For 6 hours, I gave up.
That's actually that's very good. I have not seen that yet. But if there is a sub, if you can't get into any of the folders you're talking about,
right?
Yeah. I'm wondering if there isn't some form of, corruption going on in that.
Yeah, do a file system change. Well,
sometimes if I turn off the program and turn it back on, and that's the first thing I do is go in that subdirectory, I can see it. But then I can't go in any other subdirectory and see those. So I don't think the data's corrupted.
Uninstall and reinstall?
Let's start with an uninstall and reinstall. You may have a corrupt download.
Okay.
Let me suggest you get a new copy and download it and do it that way.
Sounds good.
Let's start there and we'll see what happens.
And that's not going to blow away my existing messages?
It shouldn't, no, but I would back up that whole set of directories anyway.
Okay, thank you.
But try that and let us know what happens. This could be a longer problem than we all like to think. We're going to take a quick break. Glenn Lamberts is going to come in. He's going to show you news and weather and sports and all that good stuff. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, and me, Nick Francesco, will be back in just a little while at 27 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 32 minutes after the hour, you haven't seen anything if you haven't seen Glenn Lamberts rocking out in the newsroom.
Air guitar and all.
Get down, get funky, get up, take a shower. All right, let's take a quick view of the future.
Ooh, I just had that image.
Yeah, I know. I had to look at it through the window. A quick look at the future. Intel has built a prototype 80-core chip, and it uses less power than their current quad cores.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, they built the prototype to study how best to make that many cores communicate with each other. They're also studying new designs for cores and new architectural techniques. The chip is just for research purposes, and it does lack a little bit of functionality at this point, but Intel will be able to produce a chip with 80 cores in 5 to 8 years. The chip is being called the TeraScale Teraflop prototype. They're planning on releasing specifics about the research project at the 2007 International Solid State Circuits Conference in early February. That's not so high on my list of places to go, I got to be honest.
You know what it's all due to?
What?
The only reason I know this...
Oh, here we go.
...is because I've been sick all week sitting
yeah,
there...
Yeah, you sure have.
...forced to watching Discovery Channel and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
It's because of glue.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, the better glues.
Yeah, because of the glues.
You'd be surprised on how much stuff is glued together.
Yeah. Because of the glues that they're using now on the microchips, they can pack more stuff in and closer to keep it cool. That's how they're able to put these dual cores and, like you said, the quad cores, and more. It's because of these high-tech glues that are dissipating the heat so they can run faster and
They're looking at sea urchin glue.
Yes.
And the last one I saw, because it works underwater, too.
I saw that. What was it? Like a snail slime?
Yeah.
Or snot?
Oh, that's charming. Yeah.
It costs, are you ready for this? $47,000 for a gram of this slime.
Wow.
How many snails you have to collect?
Yeah.
How much you have to pay a guy to do that?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Gary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Yes, I have a Dell that has a SATA hard drive.
Yes.
And I want to put in a second one under a RAID because it's set up for the RAID system.
Yeah.
And I will so that I have a continual backup. Now, will this do it automatically, or do I have to go?
Now, well, a couple questions here. What version of Windows are you running?
XP Professional.
All right. Yes, you can. Supposedly with XP Pro, you can set up a mirror. Now, sometimes within the hard drive, the motherboard,
right?
It has, if it has a RAID system on it, RAID okay. controller.
Yes.
You can set it up within there to have it mirror. That's what you want to do, is mirror the drive. So, in other words, when you're writing to one drive, it goes to the other. Now, you'll never see the second hard drive. You only see it at boot up. It doesn't show up if you were to sit there and go to My Computer and Computer Management. You'll never see the second drive, you know, as a drive that you can write to.
Okay.
You'll
but
never see
it. It'll automatically copy everything that's
you've got to set up. You got to set up the partitioning and everything else.
There's a conceptual issue here, too, because I get a lot of people asking about using a mirror for backup. A mirror is not really a good backup method. Mirrors are for use in case a hard drive mechanically fails. Mm-hmm. Backups are good in case you delete a file.
Yep.
So if you delete a file from your primary drive, the mirror automatically deletes it too.
Yes.
So mirrors are used in high data integrity environments, you know, hospitals, medical installations.
So they don't have downtime. So right. In other words, if a, right. like he says, a hard drive dies, it just kicks over to the mirror drive and doesn't skip a beat.
But then they also have a backup on some removable media, and usually three or four backups, so that if a file gets deleted or lost, they can recover that file from their backup.
Right. Over the years, I've had a lot of hard drives die, and I've always had a full, I occasionally make a full backup, so I thought this would do it.
And they always know when you have a deadline coming, and they know the absolute worst time to die.
This is just a home machine. It's nothing that's, we just use it for the internet. But I would also do a backup.
For backing up, you might want to just set it up as a, like Steve was saying, get it in like an external case.
Yeah,
and
you run your backup, and then you take the hard drive off and put it in a fire safe in another room, another building even, and so you have a good backup.
Right.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
There you go.
Good luck.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next caller is Henry from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Yes. I have a problem with McAfee. I'm running a McAfee, I guess you'd call it a classic, and I do the auto updates. I have them done automatically, very early in the morning, like 2 a.m.
Sure.
Or so. And frequently, not always, but frequently, I look at it the next day and it says that it's failed. I can usually do it manually without any problem, just starting it myself. But frequently, I get the message that the update had failed. And I'm wondering what could be causing that.
Is there any more detail in the message about why it failed?
You know where I see it? If you look on the virus scan console, and it gives you the various, you can upgrade, update, mirror, et cetera, and then it says last run, and then it tells you whether it's succeeded or failed. That's the only message I'm...
One of the problems that we often, that we're finding lately in particular with things like McAfee, is that people tend to all update at the same time.
Oh, you think it's just the time that there are too many people?
Yes, if you do it earlier or later, you may not have that problem, particularly since when you do it by hand, it works.
Right. Okay, so maybe just change the time from 2 a.m. to, say, 7 a.m. or something like that.
Right. We had one of our people at work who was all at midnight exactly, backing up... compressing a bunch of stuff into a zip file and then shooting that somewhere else, updating McAfee, updating some other statistical package they were using. Everything was at midnight, and most of them failed. Yeah. Duh.
Well, I'm careful not to have them all my updates.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is you may be hitting a time that so many other people are hitting.
Well, and then don't do it at 7 a.m. Do it at 7:13.
Yeah, right.
We used to say in the olden days you'd used to wait till after 11 to make the cheap phone calls, or you wait till the middle of the night to do your big download.
Schedule it for
it doesn't matter anymore.
Right. The problem is it's the middle of the day somewhere on the internet, and it's always going to be busy.
Yeah.
Right. Can I ask you another question on Thunderbird?
Of quickly, sure.
I have the junk mail filter, and it catches a lot of junk, but there's a lot of stuff, an awful lot of stuff that's getting by it.
Yeah, here's the problem with all of the junk filters on all of the systems. The spammers are getting smarter.
Mm-hmm. Some of it is so obvious, though.
To you, not to the computer, yeah, right? Yeah. So what you have to do is continually train it. Mm-hmm. Mark things as junk, and eventually the system figures out what makes them junk and dumps them. But it is it's a leapfrog game, and at this moment, the spammers are ahead.
And what if you want a low interest rate or cheap medicine? Then it isn't junk.
Right. But so few people want those things. But that's the problem. You just got to keep up with it. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, Ming, Nick Francesco, and you. At 40 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. For those of you who are still on that old slow dial-up, as Dave says, this may be a reason for you to change. Microsoft plans for the first time to make its new Windows Vista operating system and Office 2007 productivity suite available for downloading by PC users over the internet. Whoa. Now, downloading software is not a new thing. People have been using it to get web browsers, anti-spyware software.
But a whole operating system?
The Linux folks do it all the time. I can download...
Wait a minute. We're talking the size of a ladybug versus an elephant.
Well, the big difference is that Linux comes on a CD size thing most of the time, whereas Windows Vista will come on a DVD.
Yeah, like I said, a ladybug versus an elephant.
Yeah, and I'll admit, well, I've got 6 megabits at home, so I download that stuff all the time. But I admit most people probably will do it at work where they have a much faster connection. So that's what it's doing so far. However, of course, the two most widely used products in the PC world, Microsoft Windows and Office, have eluded electronic distribution, and that's about to change. Microsoft said it plans for the first time to make Vista and Office 2000 available for downloading by PC users over the internet on January 30th, which is the day it's releasing those products to the retail market and computer manufacturers. A Microsoft rep said that while downloading Windows from the web won't appeal to the majority of PC users, it does let Microsoft establish an online beachhead for future sales. This is the tip of something we think is going to get much larger. It's not yet what we'd consider mainstream. So we're starting to see that sort of thing get more and more likely and more useful as time goes on. Those of us who've been downloading our Linux operating systems for years, kind of yawning right now, but I've downloaded a couple of DVD versions. Mandriva comes on a DVD.
Yeah, but like you say, you got a decent download. Anybody else?
Right.
Forget it.
But anyway, there it is.
Old age before.
Yeah,
even
no
get
kidding.
Half of it.
Right. Go to a friend who's got a faster download and let them burn a CD for you. Our next caller is Larry from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Larry. What's your question?
Oh, I've got three old laptops that I want to put away in storage. One's got an old Windows 3.1 on it. The other one's got Windows 95, and my latest one's got Windows 98.
And, antiques.
Well, they are antiques, and the thing of it is they got old games that are set up to play on them, and I just want to put them away for the grandkids. But what I'm worried about is that do they all laptops have a CMOS battery that over time is going to go dead? So
yeah.
Things won't fire.
No,
some of them use
the main battery for their CMOS battery. So your main battery dies, it loses its connections.
But most
too.
PCs though have both an int. Besides the regular battery pack, they have an internal CMOS battery.
The backup battery, it's sometimes called.
Now, here's the thing. Even if that backup battery dies, all right, the machine will still boot. It's going to ask, you might have to put some information in, like, the hard drive and all that type of stuff. And you will not lose any of those games or any of the data that's on the hard drive.
Okay, so you may want to go into BIOS now and look at the cylinders, heads, and sectors, because that's the thing it may ask you for on older computers.
In the BIOS, it will show all of the things that, how the hard drive is set up. Write all those down or print it out and
print
put that piece of paper with the laptop.
Work.
Lay it on the keyboard and close the cover on it, and it'll be there next time you open it.
The if you start losing time or the dates wrong on that, is that indicative that the CMOS battery is going?
Yes, that's the CMOS battery that's going on you.
Okay, and then probably can I find a CMOS battery? Is it easy to get to on most laptops?
No,
To get a spare.
It's very, very hard on most laptops.
Yeah, they literally you just got about break the whole machine down. And that's literally hundreds of little screws that have to come out.
Little screws.
Oh, yes. That's why we set it on a white piece of paper, and we draw little boxes and set each set of screws and exactly write on there a little note where they came from.
I got a bunch of button bins from a fabric store.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and egg crate work good, too.
Yep. But putting a little label what section they came from is helpful just with the white paper.
Did I tell you my new favorite words? And some of them.
Can you tell us what your favorite words are?
And some of the new Apple service manuals where they're describing the procedures on how to open the computers. You know, my favorite has been gently pry. Well, the new one now is finesse.
Oh, finesse it open?
The PC card carrier is finessed from underneath the battery.
That's short of using a pry bar.
Yeah, right. Buy it a couple of drinks, but talk it out. That's kind of the way that works.
But the answer to your question is that, no, it's not an easy thing to do on a lot of them. Some of them are, it's not a thing that I would recommend for the average user to do.
On the desktop, then, is there no problem? If you
desktop ones are very easy to do.
Yep. Is there also a CMOS on those as
Yes, there is. It's usually about the size of a quarter.
Yeah,
it's a CR2032.
Yep, we have to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 50 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, all right, everybody.
We have toys in the attic.
Sit back, relax. Put on your little footy jammies, get your cup of hot cocoa and your teddy, and everybody sit in a nice semicircle on the floor in front of the rocker, because if we can wake him up and get him even vaguely coherent, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Here he is, Uncle Dave.
I'm ready.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Now, Dan is definitely the man, knows how to bring me in.
Argyle's naming all the music that we're playing.
Yes. All right, folks, I got to make this disclaimer. I'll make it right up front.
Oh, here we go.
This does not reflect the views of Nick or Steve.
Or any right-thinking human.
No, this is strictly 20-plus years of experience on my part. And what I'm talking about right now is the Security Tango. What I'm referring to, folks, is, one, you do not have to run it weekly. Stop emailing me. It only has to be run once in a while. And here's a couple other things.
It should be run every time you get on the internet.
You're on some good drugs, and I thought I was.
It's a good thing we're not on television. He'd be breaking cameras all across the country.
Here's the story, folks. One, Stinger, don't bother using it anymore. It's junk. It's outdated. It's not going to be supported, and don't bother running it. So don't call, email me saying it's not running right. Yeah, it's not going to, and it's out of date, and don't bother using it. We've got to do some corrections to the Tango, but Nick, Steve, and I have this thing called a life. And I wonder how sometimes Nick even fits that in, because he's also doing the morning segment. The guy's got no life.
Dan and I spend the morning together here.
We won't go there.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's another segment.
I'll say this to this group, because the morning folks that are not all listening here. Dan keeps me on the straight and narrow. He's got all the best sound clips, the best stories. He keeps me going in the morning, I gotta say it.
All right, here's the thing, folks.
So kind, thank you.
If your antivirus software is up to date, in other words, you can go into either the McAfee, AVG, Norton, I don't care what you're using, and if the definition files are up to date.
Less than a week old.
Yeah, less than a week old. The only part of the Tango that you've got to run is the Adaware and SpyBot, and I do that every other week. The rest of the stuff, you do not have to run weekly.
Yeah, the Tango was originally designed for those times when there's something wacky in your machine and you think everything is running right, but something's not going on. That's when you dance the Tango. When people call us up, if you hear us, we don't say immediately, oh, run the Tango. What we do is they say, you know, everything was running fine, but I don't think my antivirus is updating. Yep. Oh, run the Tango. Everything seems to be running fine, but I'm getting these pop-ups. Run the Tango. But it's not just because you turn the machine on. It's because something whacked is happening.
Right. And, before you have to even do the first full Tango, Nick was saying, I'm sorry.
Don't make that mistake again.
Yeah, really. Check the dates. If your antivirus software is up to date, we can save you a lot of time. And no, we're not going to sit there and walk you through it. I had another individual wanted me to walk her through it step by step. I go, no,
a couple hours.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to drop it off, I'll do it for them and put all the tools on them. But that's a business. And, I'll be honest, I don't have the patience. They'd like me to do a class on the whole Tango. But, we've got some pretty good steps if you have to. But the key thing is, if your antivirus software is up to date, it's doing its job. In other words, like Steve said, it's not more than 7 days old, then you don't have to run the whole Tango. Just do Adaware and SpyBot. And like we said, that will clean up the rest of the stuff.
And make sure those are updated.
Yes.
Right. And that's what Lori's sheet does.
That's what my wife's sheet is for. And again, folks, she does not answer technical questions. You know what she usually does? She turns to me and goes, honey, can I bother you for a minute? I go, no, because I know where she is.
Yeah, right.
But this person has a quick question. I says, tell them to call Soundbites.
Right, the questions are always quick. It's the answers that take an hour.
That's the other thing. Folks, always, and I'm sure you get it too. I got a quick question. There's never been a quick question followed by a very short answer.
All right, kiddies, Uncle Dave needs his meds now. So we're going to send him back to the home. And we'll be taking off our footy jammies, putting on our clothes, putting away our teddy bears, washing out our cups, putting the cover on the rocking chair for another week. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the real Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Dan Cole. Glenn Lamberts is in with the news. You do not want to miss this newscast. Trust me when I tell you, it's going to be meteoric in its splendor. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more.
Don't meteors crash and burn?
I didn't want to really just say that out loud, but that was kind of my thought. He's not even in there. It's 59 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Back after the news.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. Glenn, they haven't yet actually legalized marijuana.
No.
Just wanted you to know that. Put that out. That
okay,
all right.
All right.
Here we go.
Truth is always stranger than fiction. I looked
always,
at that, it just jumped off the page.
Right. If somebody
sure,
had written
Charles
that, they'd go,
Weed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
good.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
By Mr. Weed?
Yeah,
Mr.
right.
Mr. Weed, sure.
All right, before we get any farther, Argyle would like me, Argyle, of course, prefers to live on the edge. So we're going to mention that I have an experimental chat site up for Soundbites at the moment. It's at one of my many other websites, nickf.com. That's nickf.com/chat/login.php. And Steve actually put a link up in the forum. But that's where we are. We're at nickf.com/chat/login.php. PHP. It's a real simple chat program. Should work in any browser. It has no fancy features of any sort, which is what I was looking for. Everybody ought to be able to run it. Come join us, and let's try to keep it keep the noise down to a minimum. Yeah. The whole point behind this was that people get in the forums every week and answer and help us answer questions, give the answers we simply can't give. But that's not real time enough for us to be able to deal with. So we put up this chat thing to see if people want to chat about the show while we're online. I will be taking the chat room down after the show. It's just for the show. But if you want to get in there, it's nickf.com, nickf.com/chat/login.php. So join us in the chat, and we'll see how long it takes to take my entire machine down.
See, Eric Gale doesn't understand. He doesn't like my rant, you know, weekly.
That's what makes this America. Everybody gets a choice.
Yep, but I got to vent one way or another, that's the only way.
Yeah, it's better to vent here on the air than when the customer's doing
it. Yeah, my customer. So, Argyle, all I can say is plug your ears.
Yeah, in fact, Dave's wife pays us to let him come and rant here, and then all week she goes, honey, save it up. Save it up for...
Yep, right, save it for soundbites.
Save it for soundbites. All right, before we get back to the phones...
Whoa, look at the folks coming in now.
And they're coming in now. We'll get some... Look at these guys all showing up, guys and ladies. Dolores was, of course, in very early. She's always at the front.
She was the very first one.
Yes, she was. All right, here it is. Apple. This is our poll of the week. We're going to hear a lot about this one. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about Apple's iPhone. 235 of you voted, making it number 238 in the all-time hit list. Thank you. And the question, of course, was about Apple's iPhone. 43% of you think it's okay. 22% of you think the battery life is disappointing. 17% of you think it's insanely great, and 17% of you think it's very nice. I don't know what happened to you. Maybe it just rebooted. That's interesting. No, I'm still in. Maybe you have to get in once in a while and do something. Dave just got kicked off the chat. This week's poll is about a news story that I read this week. Apple's 802.11 and accounting problem. Apple said Thursday that it plans to charge customers $1.99 for a software download that enables the 802.11 and Wi-Fi technology that they already bought in their MacBooks and MacBook Pros with Intel's Core 2 Duo processor.
That's the fine point. They didn't buy it. They bought a G. It was advertised as G. It works as a G.
Ah, but okay, so
but
now...
But it also had pre-N in it.
Oh, there you go. All right. The Apple says the accounting rules, known as generally accepted accounting principles, GAAPs, force it to ask for money for the download. Some MacBook Pro and MacBook customers already have a faster 802.11n Wi-Fi chip sitting in their systems, but they'll have to pay $2 to fire it up. Microsoft didn't have to charge customers for upgrading to 802.11n, but due to obscure accounting rules, it may have been the company's most palatable option. Because the company's already recognized all the revenue from the sales of those computers, it now has to charge customers at least a nominal fee in order to establish the value of its software upgrade and satisfy that obscure accounting regulations, which is known as SOP 97-2. They could have done it any one of the different ways, but they faced a difficult choice no matter what they did, and so they went with the $1.99 fee. Of course, this is apparently creating a bit of a storm on the internet because nobody's getting the fine point that they bought an 11G and are getting an 11N for $2.
Right.
Of course, what Apple could have done was told the customers that the upgrade cost was coming and avoided customer backlash over the surprise fee, but that kind of didn't happen either. So this week's poll basically says Apple's 802.11 download charge, and the choices are whatever Apple does is okay by me, it's sad but reasonable, and hey, Apple people, my upgrade's free.
And the other solution is if you buy Apple's...
Oh, I got kicked off too.
Yeah, if you buy Apple, and I can't log back in again, it shows the window for half a second and then goes back to the login window.
It does.
Well, we found the limits of your server.
We found the limits of the server. You're not kidding. And it seems to be like 10 or 12 people.
Yeah. The other workaround is if you buy Apple's new Airport Extreme router, which is Draft N, it comes with the enabler for the other computers. So the cost of the N upgrade is included in Apple's router.
Right. What I'm going to do, see, now I'm in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people. I wonder if that's some sort of limit, 11 people. I don't know. We'll find out. It's an awful fast machine, and it's not doing much else. We'll see what happens. But I'm talking about that chat room. We'll see what happens. I may need to change the software. We'll figure it out one way or the other. All right, our next caller.
Okay, let's go back to that, and we will go to right here.
Barry from Fairport. Welcome, Barry. What's your question?
Quick question.
Not so far.
I bought a Seagate 160 gig external drive for backup purposes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't come with any software. Is using the Windows XP backup utility okay, or should I?
No.
Well, sort of. Backup works fine. Restore doesn't work.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of others. I mean, you can use, like even Ghost. Ghost is a good one because then you can image your whole drive out to it.
Yeah, we've got some links in our link list already on backup
what
programs.
Are the other things?
Backup My PC is a nice, inexpensive one. Simple backup.
All right, here's one of the other things that I would recommend, Barry. Is all right, usually when your machine crashes, it's Windows' way of saying it needs to reload fresh anyways. So what you can do, and this is a good way for a lot of folks, if they want to save their current settings, their emails, and everything else, what you can do is within Windows XP, there's a utility. If you go to Start, you go to Programs, Applications, System Tools, there's a File and System Backup Program. And what you can do is click on that, say this is the old computer, and have it back up all your settings to the hard drive. And it'll create a folder, and you can back up that folder. In other words, all your emails, all your documents, and everything else will be backed up and saved to this folder out on that hard drive. So if your system does crash, you can say, oh, bring that back.
Okay.
And you can bring back all those programs. Now, if you need specific files, then there's plenty of other programs that you can burn to CD that I would recommend that you do, you know, once a month at least, just in case you happen to erase a file or need a file, burn it to DVD. I mean, Nero and that come with the computers, it's a great tool to do that separate.
Yeah.
You said that is in where it's an accessory.
If you go to you go all programs, you go to accessory,
system tools,
and it's called File and Setting Transfer Wizard.
Okay.
And that's a great utility if you want to preserve all your emails and everything else.
Right. Okay. You can also stick things. Do they still do the briefcase? Is that still available? I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have a couple people in the chat who are saying PowerQuest, and a number of them are saying Cobian Backup, C-O-B-I-A-N, which appears to be shareware.
There's another one I just got.
Cobian?
C-O-B-I-A-N, Cobian.
There's a lot of them out there that you can schedule to even offline. You can back it up to an offline source if you happen to have Roadrunner or DSL or any of these other companies usually offer you storage space.
Okay.
And quite often you can set up with this various software packages to back up your machine to an offsite place.
Ghost isn't free, is it? It's you gotta buy
quite often. Yes, yes, they are. You'll get
Ghost specifically asked about.
No,
that's $100.
The software isn't, but usually your service provider. Yeah. If you got, you know, fast internet service, usually one of the two provide you with some disk space.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to look into it.
Oh, Drakelian is saying rsync. Yeah, I use rsync every day. All right. That gives you some ideas. Our next caller is Brian from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi there.
Question. I'm trying to diagnose a problem on my parents' computer. On startup, they get a message, could not load or run C, Windows, iNet 20081/winlogon.exe. And it says, make sure you remove the reference to it in the registry. I've tried running the Security Tango, and the error still pops up. Not sure where to go from here.
Did you post this in the Soundbites forums?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because I just Googled the error message and Soundbites forums popped up first.
Nice! That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Trying all sources here.
Well, I'm very concerned of this iNet 20081 is some sort of spyware, because that shouldn't be in there. So and something has hacked your system and tried to load itself in place of the normal Windows login.
Okay.
And the trick is finding out what that is and removing it.
Right.
Well, yeah. At this point, what it sounds like you're going to have to do.
You have to move the WinLogin back into the system directory.
Yeah.
And then dig through the registry, deleting every folder or every occurrence of that folder name. And then you're going to have to find out exactly what Trojan is doing it so it doesn't do it
and
again.
And that's not something I recommend. I won't recommend tricky, folks going into the registry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
my recommendation is you take it to Dave or Steve and let them do it because you'll pay for that. But the reality is that there's a whole lot less chance of. The registry is insanely delicate, and I don't recommend the average person ever just go rooting around in the.
Well, see, you know, that's one thing, and that should be another rant I should go on, is, you know, a lot of folks, even in the forums, they sit there and say, well, you could tell them to do this, and you got to do that. No, from a business standpoint, folks, I can't. Because if I tell folks to go do something, like go into the registry and change this and that, and they get the machine messed up, and it's a business machine or something like that, they could come back on us and say, well, you told us to do that, and now you're costing me money. So that's why you'll never hear me tell folks, go in the registry, edit this and that, because I don't want to be responsible.
Right.
There's certain things.
All right, we're going to take a quick, but that's a rant for another day. We're going to take a quick break. Be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 20 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. All right, everybody.
Well, hang
batten
on a
down
second.
The hatches.
No, hang on a second. For the previous caller, suspected Trojan, it looks like it could be the Crepper T Trojan. And I found a link at Sophos on how to remove it. It adds that INET 281 directory and attaches itself to your Windows.
All right, excellent.
So I posted the link in the forum where he posted his question.
Excellent. And now batten down the hatches because Dan Cole apparently has a bone to pick with me.
I'm going to have a Rob Linton cranky moment.
Oh, here we go.
I just feel a little slighted because the past two times I've filled in, I put together all these AskNick.com drops. The past two times I've done your show, you haven't done your AskNick.com thing.
All right, we'll talk about my website. I do have my own website at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Are you on the list? Who's on that list is a matter of grave importance.
And I made that one special this morning at 6 a.m.
God bless you. You're all right. And I do.
And you got to remember, you know, he's.
I'm old.
This
now.
Guy is running. Be honest with you. I mean, I'm older than you.
Yes, you are.
I am older than you. And to be honest with you, I don't know how the hell you do it.
Because, I've come to the realization that I don't know how the hell I do it anymore.
You're burning on both ends of the candle, dude, and the hours that you keep. I mean, doing the morning segment.
I get 4.5 hours
school,
of sleep every night.
And then teaching at night.
Yes.
Like I tell folks, you know, if I had a broom, I could put that up my butt and do floors as I go along.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
And that's just charming.
I know it.
It's a lovely image.
Thank you.
Thank you. At my age? Hey, all the images I can get, you know, they help.
Yeah.
Pass the days along.
But at any rate, once you've filled out your poll choice, you can come over to my website. That's AskNick.com.
AskNick.com.
You are having fun. And you can put in your opinion. You can also check out my stuff. I do a newsletter, I think it's pretty nifty. That's why I do it. But let's go back to, thank you very much, Dan. I apologize for not having gotten to those
drops
for
you.
You've
got to keep them on the straight and narrow.
We do. Our next caller is Karen from Manchester, New York. Welcome, Karen. What's your question?
Hi, I'm Karen from Manchester. How
Excellent.
Are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Mike, I'm great. I'm just wonderful today. My question is, last night, at the urging of my computer, I went into Windows Update, mm-hmm. and I hit the Express And one of the critical updates that indicated I should have was the Windows or Internet Explorer version 7.
Uh-huh.
So I downloaded the thing. I waited the appropriate 36 minutes and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then the icon on my desktop disappeared for getting into the Internet at all. And I can't get in there from going into Start and going in under Programs or anything like that. What do I do?
Uninstall Windows Explorer 7.0.
How do I get in to uninstall it?
All right, here's what you do. Reboot the machine. While it's rebooting, keep hitting the F8 key.
F8. Now so when I go in and originally turn the machine on.
When you turn the machine on, you just keep hitting the F8 key. What's going to happen is you're going to see a screen. And the very first option is safe mode.
Safe mode.
Everything is going to look very large on your screen.
And I can use my arrow up and down. I've had to do that before.
Right. You go to Start. You go into the control panel under Add Remove Programs. You can uninstall IE 7.0.
Okay.
Reboot your machine. Now, here's one other thing, because it's going to come back.
It's going to come back?
It's going to try to come
back. The Windows update is going to suggest it again.
It's going to suggest it again. What you can do is, if you don't want to use Internet Explorer, and the reason I tell this is a lot of folks right now, if you're using like TurboTax or anything else, you can't. But there's other programs that are having issues right now with Internet Explorer 7.0. So what I tell folks to do is, when you go to update your machine again, instead of using Express, go to Custom.
I should have done that.
Under Custom, you will see the Internet Explorer 7.0 ready to download again. There's a plus sign next to it. Click on the plus sign. It opens up and it tells a description about Internet Explorer 7.0.
Ah.
Just below that, there's a box that you can check that says, "Do not ask me again."
And you want to uncheck the box that says download this.
Well, the minute you check the "Do not ask me again," it unchecks the other.
I don't want to be asked again another.
There you go.
Okay.
Do that, and you'll never see it again.
Now, when I get into the safe mode, though, I start the computer in the safe mode. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, say
again.
Okay, when I get into the screen on the safe mode, I understand how to get there.
Yep.
Now, while I'm still, before I open in the safe mode, do I go into control panel?
Once you get into the safe mode, you'll see it in all four corners. You can go to Start, you can go into control panel, and then under Add Remove.
But I don't actually start the computer in the safe mode until I get into the control panel.
Well,
no. You have to be in safe mode before you go to control panel.
I have to be in safe mode.
Yeah, while you're hitting that F8 key while the machine is rebooting.
Because you're saying the computer doesn't boot normally now.
I gotcha.
Yeah, what safe mode does is it loads a very vanilla, plain Jane operating system. Things will be huge on the screen and everything else because it's doing 640 by 480, 16 color.
I understand.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough for your help. I was very upset last night when I couldn't get back in online.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. You guys have a great day and a good weekend.
You too.
Stay warm.
You too. Keep smiling.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Makes people wonder what you're up to.
Exactly. Our next caller is Roger from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Well, my wife seems to have a virus on her computer.
Uh-oh. Of course, it's never, I have a problem. It's not my wife, my husband.
Well, the minute it becomes the wife, it is his problem.
Exactly.
You know that from your...
I run Security Tango repeatedly.
More than
once a week. If she tries to open Word or Excel, the new document or the spreadsheet opens and they immediately close. And I've gone as far as uninstalling Microsoft Office several times, running Security Tango.
That's probably a corrupt preference, not a virus.
The
normal .dot file can be corrupted.
Yeah. What you can do, Roger, is I think it's XLB for spreadsheets and normal.dot.
Right, yep.
For Word. What you've got to do is you've got to do a search, and you got to tell it to look for hidden files.
Yep, okay.
And you'll look for a file, say, for Word, it's normal.dot.
Yep. I've never seen that. Okay.
You delete it. And then I think it's Excel.xlb. You do a search for that.
Okay.
And you can delete that file. And what it'll do is, that's more or less the template for Word, and the other one is for Excel. Once you restart them, it recreates those files.
But even if I try and open existing documents that I've opened on my own machine.
Yeah, because the normal .dot.dot file is corrupt.
Okay.
It always loads that template file for fonts and styles and colors and things like that.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
We'll try that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
Bye.
We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be back
in... XLT for Excel.
Thank you.
XLT for template.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Dan Cole, with me, Nick Francesco, and you at 32 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 36 minutes, I'm living in the past already. 36 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. One more Mac story in the chat. I gotta find a new chat. This one seems to have a limit that I didn't pay attention to when I was installing it at 2 a.m. Mac sales are outpacing PC growth rates.
Wait a minute. What time?
Mac sales are outpacing PC growth rates.
Wait a minute. No, what time was that?
Yeah, about 2 a.m.
And you even give me a look about how you have no time to do anything
that
else.
Was a little late.
When you're doing things at 2 o'clock in the morning, and
I've
what
been
time
playing
do you
with
get
it
up?
Earlier. I've been playing with half a dozen of them earlier, but then about 2 a.m. I finally put this up and
I worry
didn't
about
pay
you,
attention
buddy.
To that.
I worry about you.
I live in a semi-psychotic state now with just sleep deprivation all the time. So stay back! Apple has sold 1.6 million.
I'm moving to the other side of the table in case you just start throwing things.
Apple has sold 1.6 million Macs in the quarter that ended December 31st. To end the year up nearly 30% from the year prior, easily outpacing U.S. and global PC growth rates. Analysts, however, don't think that the surge can be sustained. Apple sold 637,000 desktops. 969,000 portable Macs, nearly the same amount it sold in the quarter before. Unit sales were up 28% for the last 12 months, and the spike was driven in part by an increase in the average Mac price, believe it or not. In the fourth quarter, the average price of a desktop Mac was $1,500, with portables averaging slightly higher at about $1,501.
I don't see it, Steve. Correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't been seeing, for a while there, you were constantly... mentioning this particular model or that particular model, like the PCs, they've seemed to have slowed down.
Well, they've slowed down a little bit in coming out with new models because
it seems
customers
like
are mad that there's always a new model.
More on their iPods.
Well, it's that's one of the issues, and we talked a little bit about it with the Macworld news. But the thing with the new computers is that they updated all of their computers in the last 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All people have been waiting for the next new model. We're buying them for Christmas, the next new computer. But then we've got the other side of it is everyone knew Macworld was coming in January. And so there's a bit of a slowdown to wait to see what they announce at Macworld. And the really annoying thing is that they didn't announce anything. And in fact, for a Mac show, there were no Mac products announced.
Right.
And all of the products that were announced, you can't buy yet.
And interestingly, in the last month, in January so far, 20 days, Apple stock has dropped almost $10 a share.
Well, some of that was a big surge when the iPhone was announced.
Right.
And the irony there is that RIM and Palm stock dropped as much as Apple's stock went up on that day. But it's very annoying. And one of the directions we're seeing from Apple, they dropped computer from their official name. They're just Apple Incorporated now because of their four product lines, Macintosh, iPod, iPhone, and Apple TV. Only one of them's a computer.
Right.
So they're branching out into the rest of your house. So the computer, which has typically been relegated to the den or an office. Now with the iPod and the video services, being able to put an Apple TV in your home theater, in your living room, being able to use an Apple phone around the house. In fact, I'm excited about the Apple phone just for the Wi-Fi integration because I've tried using internet browsing on the Q and the Palm and the other smartphones, and it's just terrible. And even though we're not singular dealers, that's the new big rumors is that if you take the iPhone, which he jokingly referred to as three separate products, a widescreen iPod, a cell phone, and an internet appliance, and it's just in one box now. If they split that off into three products and have a real widescreen iPod or a real Wi-Fi internet appliance, that could be more products for them.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, so if we take an iPhone and pull the phone bit out of it and just make it a widescreen iPod.
Well, that's part of it for me is I guess I'm outside the mainstream. I don't mind carrying multiple devices.
Right.
If I don't need, I need my cell phone every day to keep in touch with my family. I don't need to be carrying my music player. I don't need to be carrying all that other stuff. And what happens if the machine dies? I've now lost four devices.
Right. It's the market for this for the iPhone is the smartphone user. People have been using a BlackBerry or a Palm Trio or the Moto Q.
Which is why it's $600.
Right. And that's how much all of those devices were when they came out. You know, and now next year, you know, the Moto Q came out last year, it was $600. This year it's $99 after rebate.
Right.
So we'll see the same thing. You know.
I don't know that we're gonna go quite that far down with this.
A couple
device.
Years maybe.
Yeah.
When they come out with the iPhone Pro. or the iPhone Lite. Yeah, so the smartphone. People that are used to paying a couple hundred dollars for a smartphone and a couple hundred dollars for an iPod, being able to integrate that together into one device. But then, it's you know, a lot of people are used to having multiple devices. But that smartphone crowd are used to, especially BlackBerry users, are used to messaging all the time.
Right.
And the text messaging abilities of a BlackBerry, even without using it as a phone, have made it very popular.
Well, and that's the other thing. Text messaging on a regular phone keypad
is a pain.
Is painful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the guys who works for me just got an Envy, which pops up sideways and has a real keyboard.
Right.
Now he text messages me all the time, and it annoys the
and that's
everything out of me because I text messaging him back is like I can't do this.
And that was the big thing with the Motorola Q is it had a full keyboard. You know, it's a tiny one, but it had a full keyboard
on it.
And then the Palm Trios, I don't know anyone that uses Graffiti. They usually pop up the little on-screen keyboard and tap one letter at a time.
Right.
Or you have a portable keyboard to type into your Palm.
Right.
With the Apple iPhone, it's a soft keyboard. In fact, that's one of the big things people are saying. Everything's done in software, which makes it very easy to change.
Right.
But the keyboard pops up, and you tap your keys, and it's a multi-touch interface. So you can actually touch the screen and several places at once,
right?
And it recognizes it, but it has a predictive analysis typing, where it doesn't just do a spell check. It looks at the letters near what letter you actually typed, and figures, oh, they meant this letter because that's near the one that I recognized.
Yeah.
So and so typing on the iPhone is really really easy.
They have an interface that I can't remember the name of right now. I'll find it. It's a free download for Linux, and I was running it on one of my PDA things at work. And you sweep letters from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
You use the stylus, and there's letters down both sides, and it brings up the letters that are most likely to be needed next, depending on what words it thinks you're doing.
Yeah.
And it refines it as you go. So you can go, and you've created an entire word and move on to the next word, and it's when you get used to it, it's insanely fast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's faster than typing, so... there's some pretty neat stuff there. We've been neglecting the phone. Do I have enough time for a phone call? I do. Excellent. Our next caller is Lee from Perry, New York, or perhaps Perry from Lee, New York. No, I believe it's Lee from Perry, New York. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
How are you, Nick? It's a pleasure to talk to you.
A joy to talk to you. What's up?
I had two questions. The first thing I wanted to say, the last caller was talking about Excel spreadsheets. I don't know if you guys were talking about something different, but Excel saves theirs as XLS extensions, I think.
Right, XLX or XLS.
Well, XLS is the regular file name, but the template. is
XLT.
Right, it's book.xlt or workbook.xlt. It's like
I wasn't sure. I kind of caught the tail end.
Yeah. Like Word, the normal Word files are DOC. The template files are DOT.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I had, I recently, I'm dual booting with XP and Ubuntu.
Yeah.
How good? The only reason I'm dual booting right now is because I have a game that I recently got. I'm having a blast at Battlefield 2142.
Right.
How good are programs like Wine or VMware at emulating Windows-based programs? Can I?
Very good for Windows-based programs. Very bad for games.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So it wouldn't be. If I wanted to continue playing it, I kind of have to keep XP around.
Yeah, unfortunately, until you can get a true Linux version of any particular game, games emulating the operating system slows down everything. So you don't really notice it for things like word processing or spreadsheet or whatever, but
or
when you're playing
games.
A game, A real high-end graphics game like Battlefield, then you really do need the full power of the system.
Yeah, we were on Microsoft Pinball on our Macs, and it's not bad because Pinball isn't that intensive a program.
Right.
But trying to run a first-person shooter under the virtualization isn't that good, which is why Apple's Boot Camp, where you reboot into a Windows-only mode, is better for gaming on the Macintosh.
Yeah, I will say that although I normally die in Call of Duty, I really die when I'm emulating it on my Linux box.
You can't even turn around before you're dead because yours is going so slow.
Right.
And most of that's the graphics emulation because it doesn't have access to the graphic hardware to really run the true DirectX or OpenGL graphic calls that the games need.
Right.
Linux have anything like Mac for like the you mentioned Boot Camp? Does it have anything like that works a little bit better at that sort of thing, or not really?
There's both Xen and the other one you mentioned, which let you VMware, which let you actually run an operating system. But in terms of dual booting, if you put in the Windows system first and then load Ubuntu, Ubuntu's loader will let you automatically pick between them when you boot up. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 47 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 51 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. And I should mention before we get any farther that the Soundbites archive server seems to have gone down again. I'm probably not going to go fix it this afternoon. Sorry, get over it. I'll fix it tomorrow morning when I get into work.
So for the time being, you can't download podcasts or listen to old shows.
Right. But we'll make sure that gets set up and fixed for tomorrow. I apologize. I don't know what's wrong. It just started happening, and it seems to be software related, but I haven't changed any of the software. Doggone it! All right, we'll find out. We'll figure out what the deal is. We'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Joey in Chi-Lai, New York. Welcome, Joey. What's your question?
All right, this is my question. I got a whole bunch of music downloaded under a folder, and what I wanted to do was transfer it to Media Player. And what I accidentally did was when I transferred the music, I transferred it to the same folder. Now I got three or four of the same songs, and I want to get rid of the copies without getting rid of the original, if that makes any sense.
Are they named Copy Of?
Yes.
Do a find for Copy Of and drag it to the recycle bin.
Sort them by name.
Sort by name, and then all the copy of's will be together. Be first.
Yeah, but that's the way
you need to put the copy at the beginning or the end?
That's all
the copies in the beginning.
Yeah. On the Mac, when you make a duplicate, it puts the copy at the end of the file name.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, see, okay. Now the problem there is on the Mac, if you're sorted alphabetically, the original and the copy are right next to each other.
Well, if he does,
but on the
search,
PC, if you're sorted alphabetically, the original and the copy are different places.
Yeah, do a search for Copy Of, and that's the easiest way.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks. Our next caller.
Actually, Nick, that Tesla's only $100,000. That's pretty cheap for a supercar.
We were talking about the Tesla automobile. It's an electric car, goes like 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Zero to 100 in 4 seconds.
Yeah, 0 to 104 seconds, gets 135 miles to a charge. It's a sports car, a little two-seater, runs on lithium-ion batteries. The engine's only 70 pounds, and it costs, what, $100,000?
The base price is $92,000. And that's pretty cheap for a supercar.
That really is pretty cheap for a supercar. I wish they'd make a regular sedan version for, like, I don't know, $12,000.
Yeah.
Give them a chance. Give them a chance. All right, our next caller is Charlie from Geneva. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Hi, Nick and boys. How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Just wonderful. Slight problem.
Uh-oh.
It's Thunderbird-oriented. I ended up with Works as my picture opener when I try to open up my email.
You on a Windows machine or a PC or a Mac?
I'm sorry, it's Windows. It's, yes.
Yeah, so at one point you opened a picture with Microsoft Works, and it reattached itself so that all pictures open with that.
Yeah, yes, right.
It's not so, opening the pictures.
Right.
Right.
What,
I'd like to get rid of it and figure out what I'm going to use. I mean,
I don't know how this gets to your Thunderbird problem, but here's what you do.
Well, no, it's in Thunderbird, and I want to get it out of Thunderbird is what I mean.
But it's probably everywhere. So what you need to do is figure out which program you want to use to open your pictures.
Exactly.
And that, I don't know what you have on your machine.
It's under the file association.
But, right, well, first we have to figure out which one he picks.
Yeah.
It'd be like probably Explorer, or I don't care, whatever. It doesn't. I've got Picasa, I've got...
Right, so what you do is on the desktop, you find one of the a picture file, and then you left-click on it, and then hold the Shift key down and right-click on it, and there's an Open With command, and that will list all your programs, and you pick the program you want to open that picture file, and then there's a checkbox that says Always Open With.
So it'll change your default. In other words, it won't use Works any longer for any picture. To open it up, it will use the one that you just selected.
So find the picture file.
Yep. Right. Well, we can't walk you through it right now. We got.
Yeah. The trick is left click and then shift right click to get the open with command.
Shift right click. Excellent.
Okay.
Get her flying.
There you go.
Thank you much, gentlemen.
Yep.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks. All right. Our next caller is going to have to wait until after
next week's show.
We're done, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's because we had it. That's right. I apologize. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. I want to thank everyone who called in. I particularly want to thank all the folks who made it into the chat, all 10 of them. We'll find a better chat product for next week. This was one of those very quick things. I'll be taking the chat down in just a few minutes. I want to thank Dave Enright, who came in even though he was sicker than a dog. Because my dogs aren't sick, so I don't know what that means. And Steve Ray, even though he didn't bring the donuts, I had to mention that on the air. And Dan Cole, who does yeoman service now, apparently 7 full days a week. If you want to know where Dan is, it's the Wham address. And me, Nick Francesco. It is 56 minutes after the hour. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The sun used to make...